satisfactory Krishna consciousness. That was one thing. We used to mutually feel different god brothers. And another thing, they often devotees have said, is that some devotees had never seen Srila Prabhupada and would serve him and even become initiated by him. And then when they saw him, it had the effect of actually confirming that in separation he had been present all along. In other words, seeing him, they said, oh, this is the same spiritual master who I've always seen in the picture. And not that they would be disappointed to see him face to face, but they would realize that the other was providing just as good. And now here I am actually face to face with him. And it's confirmed that speaking by him on the tape recorder, that following him in separation, or that seeing him in the picture, that is the same. So it would give us confidence in the thing that we mostly lived with, which was the separation. We would see that the separation was in a sense as good as the personal association, and that the service was as good as the direct. But that didn't mean that we therefore took as negligible, unimportant thing, the personal visit or the personal association. If that occurs, then there's something dead, but rather that was a special occasion to get redirected, inspired, and to get important personal instruction. Prabhupada, he stressed, it was his relationship with Bhakti Saranda Saraswati, this order, how did he come to take that order into his heart? Although he said, oh, I only met my spiritual master about a dozen times. But what he means is that on the basis of that, practically on the basis of the first meeting, he decided, before that first meeting, he had no intention of following Bhakti Saranda Saraswati. He didn't even want to see him. He said, another sadhu? I've seen so many sadhus. And his friend said, no, come and see him. But then he said, oh yes, he's a saintly person. Now I can understand the movement of Lord Chaitanya is the topmost thing. And Prabhupada gave up his Gandhiism and he wanted to simply serve. He changed his whole life. Just like Prithu, you were saying, somebody changes quickly. Prabhupada said, oh, I wish I had not been married. I want to dedicate my life to his service. So that was the Bapu. And then he took the order. So we're not as powerful as such acharyas coming from the spiritual world as Bhakti Saranda Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada, that just on one meeting and it is a rare disciple also like Srila Prabhupada who on one meeting the whole thing is transferred from one to the other. That is an eternal, of course the relationship is always eternal. But there was such instantaneous, eternal exchange of that disciple and spiritual master. That is a rare thing. But the relationship should be progressive. Should be built up more and more. And should not be subtracted from. Or weakened. If we fall down from the order of the spiritual master or disobey or become forgetful, then we try to make up for it. Then again, we fall down, then we make up for it. Better that we always progressively increase our service and our reciprocation. Sometimes, occasionally, say, in the personal presence, and then taking up the main order, serving in some place in separation on the order of the spiritual master. But always progressively, hearing from the spiritual master and understanding from the books how we serve Krishna through the order of the Guru. It can't be allowed to diminish. Yes.
Shri Gopa, you like your disciples to write to you. And I was wondering, would you have any appreciation for the devotee who would think like this, that, well, personally at the moment I don't seem to have any trouble with my Krishna consciousness, everything seems to be going all right, so therefore let me not bother to write to my spiritual master, let me not kind of bother his mind with any kind of unnecessary writing. Or would you rather prefer that devotees kind of communicate with you regularly, no matter what the situation is, whatever kind of?
No, that mentality that you explained is not objectionable. There was one devotee who wrote to the Prabhupada not often and wrote him one letter, and then Prabhupada wrote back that, I forget the exact quote, but the idea, he said, "You are short on letters but long on service." So if one actually is serving in the right consciousness, which includes, you say he's in good Krishna consciousness, that includes his reciprocation with the spiritual master. But the reciprocation doesn't have to depend on the letter. But if one can learn how to do that, how to reciprocate in a meaningful way to the letter, then it's just another, it's another important way. It has to be not just done in a ritualistic way. When it's done meaningfully, it's an important link. But the main thing is service. If we write and write and write, we write so many letters, we receive so many letters, but we don't improve our situation, then it's simply a burden.
So, Srila Prabhupada, you said that the guru disciple relationship is reciprocal. Is that reciprocation solely based on service?
What else?
Like, the relationship with the spiritual master and the relationship with Krishna, at what time does the relationship with the spiritual master become perfect? And from, and how does he know what his relationship is to Krishna through the spiritual master?
First of all, I think I would say definitely it is based solely on service. But that we have to understand that under service, everything is included. Service comprehends everything. In other words, the relationship of Krishna and the gopis is solely based on service. It's not based on sense gratification. They're attracted to Krishna, his beauty, and they want to serve him. That's why Krishna reciprocated with them. It's not because he was like a henpecked person or that he had material desire, but they were such good servants, worshippers, that he always wanted to please them and they wanted to please him. So it's called devotional service. Love. Love takes the form of some kind of service. So this, the basis is loving service. Now, I'm not sure how that's connected to what you said further, that at what point is the relationship perfect with the spiritual master, and therefore we know our relationship, our exact relationship with Krishna? Like that? Well, that comes when our service reaches the point that we deserve to know that. When you're simply made up of service and nothing else, anya bilashita sunyam, jnana kamari anarvitam anukulina krishna nusilanam bhakti rutama. When your service is first class bhakti, with no desire to get some reward and with no impersonalism in it, you see the spiritual master actually as good as Krishna, because he's a representative of Krishna, and you simply want to serve, and you do serve, then it comes up, it fills up to a point, just like a bank account. And at that point, anyabhilashita sunyam, then Krishna reveals to you your relationship with himself. And that we say that it's perfect, that's liberation, but it's not the end, then it just continues in mellows of exchange with Krishna. And neither is the relationship with the spiritual master finished. Perfect doesn't mean now it's finished. But then you have a relationship with spiritual master and with Krishna in perfectly liberated platform in the spiritual world. So we cannot speculate exactly how that's going to take place. Now you just have to actually become the servant of the servant of the servant. If we say it's based solely on service, that doesn't make it like a business exchange, or that you're a slave and there's no love, or there's no friendship, or there's no perfection, no freedom. To base solely on service means that that's where there is freedom and love and friendship. Freedom from material life, the freedom of following the order of the Guru, solely based on service to Krishna.
Does that mean to say that, like, does one, from what point does the relationship with the spiritual master begin? Like, does one have to be initiated, or could one just read a book and follow?
Sure. Again, take that example of Srila Prabhupada. He said that from that first meeting, I understood that I had met my guru. That, of course, it was not official, he said, but in my heart I accepted him as my spiritual master. So it was quite a while before he got actually initiated. But the spiritual master, he's coming. He's serving everyone in that way. He's ready to accept a disciple. So if someone says, yes, I want to become his disciple, and he fixes up like that, then his relationship has begun. And he wants to follow the four rules and chant 16 rounds and become the shishya of a particular spiritual master, to be guided by him. Then that's the basis on which later the actual relationship will be confirmed by initiation. But it starts at that time, that the determination becomes fixed up, or that the faith starts. When the faith starts, the relationship starts. And we can say that it's confirmed or consummated at initiation, but it's not finished, that's only begun. Then it goes on and goes on. We're serving our spiritual master, it's developing more and more and more. You had a question?
Yeah. I don't really know how to ask this question. It's like when usually you find in your souls that you would have a relationship with the disciples straight off from the time they just charged the movement. Well, because like we were already in the movement for so long before a relationship developed, like, is there a difference? Like, would you feel the difference between the disciples here, like the relationship building up gradually, and because the relationship is already kind of was there before and it was broken again?
Well,
starting again.
I don't know how you feel, but to me that's becoming more and more insignificant. What happened? It shouldn't be like it's a traumatic thing that's always there, or it's, you know, a stunted growth or terrible scar. It's spiritual life is such that we can overcome so many difficulties and become healthy and grow. I don't think like that, as long as that it's different, as unless I see that a disciple in a position like that is having difficulty and is thinking, well, how can I surrender to this person because I did this previously? But I don't have that hang up. It's fresh and as good as any other relationship. It depends on how we exchange. Because just aside, why make a particular case out of that? Think of all the different relationships and sinful activities with their material life, which would seem to negate your having a pure relationship with a spiritual master, because you had so many other cheating relationships without having to have a cheating relationship in the name of a guru or in the name of spiritual life. There were so many cheating material relationships. And now you're expected to have a pure relationship with a spiritual master. So you could ask the same question. Because I was so sinful and had so many bad material relationships, does this impair me in having a pure relationship with a spiritual master? We say no. So if your case added to that is another particular situation within spiritual life, we still say no. If now you are give yourself wholeheartedly, there is no difficulty. That's impersonalism. If one thinks that I've had bad experience before, so I should be careful of spiritual personal relationship with Krishna or with the spiritual master. Let me stay impersonal, then I won't be harmed. Then you can stay impersonal, but our philosophy is not impersonal.
You were describing how the relationship of service of the disciple to the spiritual master has to continuously develop all the time. How that has to develop and,
yes,
and increase, you know. So, because we're devotees, we're fortunate because every day we're kind of automatically engaged in service to our spiritual master.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we ensure that the quality of our devotional service is increasing?
Mm.
How can we develop that?
It's a nice question.
Service.
One one of the Gurukul children asked me a question once. That she said, what is the meaning that we pray? I've heard that the meaning of Hare Krishna is, O Lord, please engage me in your service. So why do we have to pray like that? Because I thought that we're doing that all day long anyway. So why pray to Krishna to please engage me? From morning to night, we're already engaged. I said, well, for one thing, don't think it's such a guaranteed thing that you're already engaged. It's a great mercy on us from Krishna and Guru that instead of being engaged by Maya, we've somehow or other, now we're engaged by Krishna. So yes, prayer is proper. Please continue to engage me in your service. Don't let me be taken up by Maya again. And we pray. Although it's already there, it's something to pray for. And another meaning of praying, O Lord, please engage me in your service, even though we're already engaged, following the schedule, is that we want to go beyond just mechanically doing it, to do it with quality. Please engage me within the spiritual energy so that I can actually taste the holy name and do my service without reluctance. I actually do it instead of just going through the motions. Please engage me in your service. We are praying for that quality and we're praying to stay in devotional service. So that's one way you're asking how to improve the service you're already doing and make it ongoing, make it grow. You have to realize that you're praying to Krishna for that and you have to strive. Don't think that it's just an automatic thing. You have to work, you have to strive. Always. Just like for some reason or other you had this great setback here in the ISKCON temple with the fire. So you just can't say, well, it's Krishna's mercy, it happened. You have to work, and as you did, and fix it up. As difficult as it is to come back from the setback. So it takes effort. When we say love Krishna, that takes a voluntary, deliberate use of the will. It just doesn't happen. I asked that question to Srila Prabhupada when I was first coming. And some question. Anyway, what he said was, well, you have to take everything out of your consciousness that's not Krishna, and then you have to put in everything that's Krishna. I was surprised at the way he said it, so that it was such a deliberate act on our part. Sometimes we think that spiritual life, it just happens. If you get in touch with the divine, it just all of a sudden happens. Not that it's such a deliberate thing, that you say, all right, I'm going to love Krishna. And every part of me that doesn't love Krishna, I'm going to just put aside, and I'm just going to love Krishna with my body, mind, and words. It's going to do it, that's all. So it's like that. You have to deliberately... Of course, once you do it, then you become attracted to Krishna because he's all attractive and he reciprocates. But you have to love Krishna if you want him to love you. Otherwise, he'll just give you whatever you want in yayatamam prapadyante. If you don't want to love Krishna, then what do you want? Oh, I want this. All right, then Krishna will give it to you. But when you deliberately try to invest your all your faculties into loving Krishna, then that answers your question. Then it will progress. So just consider all the parts of your day in devotional service. You go to see the deity, you chant the holy name, you hear the Bhagavatam class, your spiritual masters have prepared literature for your reading. Then there's the preaching to the conditioned souls. We have to work with the authorities in the temple to realize the goals of our yatra. So you can do those in a half-hearted way, or you can do them with deliberate surrender, taking them as Krishna. Krishna is not somewhere else, he's right here. As Krishna said to the residents of Vrindavan when Indra was threatening them, or when he told his father not to worship Indra, he said, "We are residents of Govardhan Hill, worship right here. Don't worship some demigod far away to get benediction. You just take care of your cows and worship this land, Govardhan." So we have to preach in our yatra and do our immediate devotional service. And then everything will improve. Say there's a man, he's living outside, he's little interested in Krishna consciousness. He's wondering how he can help. So we may not want to be blunt about it, but Krishna says that if you cannot think of me always, then follow the regulative principles. And if you can't, say, live like a devotee and follow all the rules and regulations, then you should give money. So such a person should give money if he wants to improve and surrender. Give some hard-earned fruit of his work and thus surrender. So if he wants to improve, he has to do that. He has to, I was talking about deliberate expression of love. He can't say, "I love Krishna." Then he say, "Well, can you give some money to help?" "Oh, no, no." And where's the love of Krishna? If that which you love, your money, you can't part with. Or you may love some vice and you can't give it up. Then where's your love for Krishna? You have to show it. Or you do some austerity, you can't perform it. You can't obey. If you can't obey, then where's your love? We have to take steps forward. All right, I'll give some money. All right, I'll give up my vices. I'll chant Hare Krishna. So as that's an obvious requirement for a beginner, it's also those going further and further requirements are there for all of us. We may think, what's there left for me to do? I'm following the rules, I'm chanting 16 rounds, I have no material possessions, I'm wearing a dhoti or sari, I must be completely surrendered, what else can I do? So now you can give your love, what you haven't done. There's so much you can surrender. If you've given everything, then how come you're not a pure devotee? Always thinking of Krishna. You mustn't have given everything. Because as you give everything, Krishna says he returns. So you've given your money, you've given up your other residence, but it's not a big deal. It's not so wonderful. You have to give more. It's nice that you've stopped being a thief. But you're still not, that doesn't mean you're the best person. Everything belongs to Krishna. So a devotee, he actually feels like that I'm not doing anything, I am not surrendered to Krishna. But then he tries also to do that. He doesn't avoid his service. So I very much think of you in terms of your service here, how you're going to the festival, or how you're repairing this temple, or how you're doing the service in this temple, how you're following Prithu's directions. What else is there? This is our spiritual life. Hearing these books. Prabhupada gave us these books. I've given you some books. This is the way. Surrender in this way. And if I come as spiritual master and say, please develop your relationship with me in these ways. Let us exchange, let us develop. So you follow that direction that I'm saying. These are the ways. We should be intelligent enough and willing enough to do these things. Yes.
And while the disciple is carrying out the order of the spiritual master, how is it that the order is like the same as the spiritual master? And the disciple, is it the spiritual master which is acting? Or is it a disciple which has any potency to be able to carry out that order?
Yes.
Where does the how does it?
Well, it's personal. That you have to just feel. It's not just... it's a dynamic thing. It's not only a theory. Because he told me to do like this, I do it. It is a personal obligation, a personal exchange. Because in your heart, you want to please the spiritual master, therefore you carry out his order. Because you have faith that he's actually Krishna's representative, therefore I should do what he says. We don't have to try to imagine how the mystic potency works. If the spiritual master's thousands of miles away, how am I carrying out his order? Isn't it just an order? Chant 16 rounds, follow four rules. How is it the spiritual master's order? How is he present? How am I getting potency from him? That you have to feel. Or you have to actually be situated in that way. It has to be the fact of your service. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like some parent tells the son, now I want you to go off to the university. We're going to pay for your university. Now you go off and study there and do well. So the student, he's thinking like that. The son, that my parents have sent me here, let me do well. I don't want to disappoint them. It's possible he may just become a complete rascal. Say, oh, they sent me here, but I don't like it, or let me carry out my own purposes, let me disobey them. That's a different thing. But it is quite possible that order will be very personally in his mind. They wanted me to be here, to do nicely, let me uphold the honor. This is a material example. So it has to be like that. That I'm carrying out the order of my spiritual master. I've been given this order by Krishna. Then that's how you think of Krishna. Remember, we're trying to be Krishna conscious, and the spiritual master is the via media to Krishna. So Prabhupada brings that up in the Bhagavad Gita, that one may say, well, if Krishna is not present as he was with Arjuna, how can I think that I'm carrying out the order of Krishna? He said, you can think that if you carry out the instructions in Krishna's book, Bhagavad Gita, then you know you're following Krishna. And if you follow the order of Krishna's representative, the order of Krishna comes down through disciplic succession. So Krishna asked Arjuna face to face, fight here in the battle of Kurukshetra. And the spiritual master, he may say to you, do Sankirtan or work in Glengariff. And that's the same as Krishna coming in his two-armed form and the chariot. That's Krishna coming. And it's personal. And so you don't want to disobey it. Meditating in appreciation on the spiritual master, like that prayer by Prahlad Maharaj, thinking of Narada Muni. He said, my spiritual master Narada, he saved me. I was falling into a pit of snakes, taking the ways of the common men. But he saved me. How can I ever leave him? Meditating in gratefulness on what he was and how he's been saved by his spiritual master. Then he keeps the personal honor, he keeps the order. But if he doesn't have intelligence to value what spiritual life is, or if he doesn't understand the system, how the spiritual master has connected him to Krishna and continues to do that, then these difficulties may come. That how do I know that this is the spiritual master is present in the order? So you say, is it the spiritual master's potency or is it the disciples? The disciple becomes empowered. Krishna's in the heart, and he sees, oh, you're trying very nicely to carry out the guru's order. I'll give you the intelligence how you can come to me. Tesham satata yuktanam, pachatam priti purvakam. Priti purvakam means with love. When I see someone serving me as love, Krishna says, I give the intelligence by which he can come to me. I, dwelling in his heart, destroy the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. So what does that mean? How do you serve Krishna in love? How does Krishna give the intelligence to come to him? Through the order of Krishna's representative. Krishna's representative says, do this service. And you try to do it, and then Krishna helps you. That's the meaning of via media. And then the spiritual master is pleased by that service, and Krishna accepts that pleasure. And awards the disciple further ability. So certainly the disciple has ability, because everyone is pure spirit soul, whether he's guru or disciple. They're not different kinds of entities. They're all spirit soul. So the spirit, every spirit soul has dormant love of God, has the capacity to please Krishna by rendering service. So the guru, he evokes that in the heart of the disciple. And then the disciple can serve nicely under that guidance. But he has to direct it towards the order of the guru. Krishna is giving me intelligence, not to be a rascal, but how to serve my spiritual master. It's not that when Krishna gives a disciple some intelligence, how to be a devotee, then he gets puffed up and says, well, I don't need my guru anymore. Krishna's giving me all kinds of instruction. Actually, I'm better than my guru. But he gives instruction how to carry out that order. And that's what's meant by, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. We should always understand that they're two, Guru and Krishna, but their interest is identical. So there's no conflict. You want to love Krishna, the Guru is not going to stop you. He's trying to help you. Just as a person with weak vision, he wants to see, he uses the glasses. Guru is simply the servant. The Guru is actually the servant of the disciple, helping him. Please take to Krishna consciousness. But he does it by taking the position of the master, and sometimes he wields the rod, and he has to have the position to punish the disciple, to train the disciple. And the disciple is grateful, and then a loving relationship develops, all for the point of reaching love of Krishna. We'll just take a couple more. I don't like to go so long at one session. So.
And because the disciple may be more in physical and personal relationships with his older god brothers and senior authorities, and he develops a loving relationship with them, does that take away from his relationship with his spiritual master in any way? Or is it the same?
Or is it the same?
Yeah, is it a separate relationship?
It's a separate relationship, but it shouldn't take away.
Or add to it.
Yeah. That depends on what is that relationship. If the older devotees that one is serving, they're philosophically well situated, so they encourage him also that now you please do this and do it for your spiritual master. You're doing very nicely. Are you worshipping your spiritual master? Are you reading your spiritual master's books? Have you written to him? Does your spiritual master know you're doing this? So he encourages that relationship. So that's one way that it's not impeded by, but it helps. Because everyone knows that a person's spiritual life depends on his relationship with his spiritual master. So if I'm supposed to take care of you or help you, that's part of how I have to take care of you. I have to see that you chant the holy name and do your service, distribute books, that you don't be passionate or lazy or get into trouble in this way and that way. But a very important thing I have to do is take care of you, is to see that you're mindful of your spiritual master's instruction and thinking of him. I have to encourage you in that way. If I see you're lacking, I try to encourage you. But naturally, just by working regularly, we'll also develop strong attachments. They're not to be they're separate, but they're not to be denied. Vaishnava relationships. That's a practical thing. It's like our, what is it, the history of our relationship. So many of you, when you wrote to me, you said, we're saying that that trouble has become insignificant. But it was there not long ago. And you had to face this junction point that you could not accept your initiation. And they took shelter in your immediate authority, Prithu, who told you to take shelter in Prabhupada's movement, ISKCON, and then directed you to me. So, therefore your obligation is there to him. And that's not now because I'm your spiritual master, so that we don't obliterate that. Therefore, when there's time for initiation, I ask Prithu, well, is this, so should this person be initiated or not? And yet when you're initiated, then that's another relationship that we have now. And they're harmonious within one family. Is that clear, that question?
Yeah.
Ladies? Yeah.
How can we develop faith in the spiritual master more and be sure that it's not based on sentiment?
Well, what is sentiment? You have to know. You say, as sadhu, he should be approached not by seeing, but by hearing. So, we develop attachment by being attracted to a person, and we become attached to a person. So there's material attachment. One may be attracted to the bodily features of a person, or attracted to a person's money, or attracted because this person can give me sense gratification. But our attachment to the spiritual master has to be that he inspires me to chant Hare Krishna, to serve Krishna. So that must be there. Then we have to try to develop the bona fide avenues of exchange with our spiritual master. So as you approach the spiritual master and ask him questions that are relevant for a disciple, and he gives you guidance, then you'll feel more faith in him and more confident in him. You've been approaching him as a spiritual master, and he's exchanging, then you feel more attachment. That yes, he's actually guiding me, helping me in my spiritual life by his different instructions. And by his, and then you look to the activities of the spiritual master and appreciate them. And as I've been saying, you try to understand how he actually has entered our life in terms of giving us initiation, taking our karma, taking our offering to Krishna. And then it just as you read in the Shastra about spiritual master, not only your spiritual master, but the category of spiritual master, how he's important, the bona fide spiritual master. And then because you accept your own spiritual master as the bona fide spiritual master, then your faith is increased just by hearing from Shastra about the importance of approaching the Guru. There's that verse, one should never be envious of the spiritual master, or consider him an ordinary man, but if the spiritual master is the equal to the total of the demigods. So when we read that, as long as we accept that this applies to our spiritual master, then our faith will be increased. Oh, I'm very fortunate. I have a connection with a bona fide spiritual master. So I also should not think of him as an ordinary man or be envious of him. He's actually not he's a spiritual person, representative of Krishna. So invest your attachment in these, in the true meaning of the Guru and the relationship with the Guru, not in something else. That I like my Guru because whenever I ask for something material, he gives it to me. That's not the relationship. Or I like my Guru as a pet. You had a question?
You were talking about service before, and the aim is to develop the quality of devotion of the service. But sometimes we're feeling, well, I don't have any devotion in my service, so if we're just concentrating on trying to develop the material expertise in which we do our service, is that wrong or dangerous?
Not only that. Yeah, that's an expression of our devotion, if you do it in the right way. If my service is to fix automobiles, and I, by practicing and or different methods, I learn how to do it nicely, I think, or I'm protecting the cows, and I think, or I'm developing the land, and I try to understand, I want to do this nicely. Let me go ask the man next door how he takes care of his land. Where can I get some flowers? How can I do this? So you're thinking like that. I want to make this better. But it's your service to Krishna. So if you're thinking of it with devotion, that material expertise is being used in the service of Krishna. Let me dress the deity very nice. Where can I get the best cloth? How can I learn how to sew? I want to make the best sweets for the deity. Let me write to this devotee who I've heard knows how to cook nicely. Let me find out how to do it, how to save money, how to go to the best lawyer. This is devotion. You express your devotion by developing your expertise. And then your regularity and your faithfulness. Even you may not be the most expert at it on a material standard. Somebody makes better sweets than you do. But you try, and you're very steady. and you don't feel it's a burden. Otherwise, somebody could be the most expert. That's happened. There's been the most expert book distributor, but he's only doing it to get name and fame, and then he stops after a while. Where somebody's cooking, he knows how to cook expertly, but he's not, doesn't want to do it very much. And so the real criteria is that you try to improve, and Krishna will help you, but you have to keep that enthusiasm. Actually doing it out of devotion. We lose that, then all the material expertise in the world won't save us. Because our movement is running only on the mercy of Krishna. Krishna doesn't have to accept your food stuff just because it's well cooked. Or Krishna doesn't have to favor us just because we have a good financial system. But when he's pleased by the service, so I got many good questions and thoughtful questions. And I hope you take them not just as an exercise, but to shape your life. Materialist, he doesn't know what we're doing. Somebody comes here, he'll say, well, this one man, he sat up on a seat and they asked all these philosophical questions and he gave some answers according to the books and from his spiritual master, and they made these different expressions and trying to improve themselves. But I don't know what it was all about. Prabhupada said that the onlookers, they think devotees are crazy when they see them holding kirtan in public. He said because they see two things are lacking. They don't appear to be engaged in sense gratification, as he knows it, and that they don't appear to be making money. So, and seeing the absence of these two things, he says, why are these people doing this? They must be crazy. So they may think like this. One news reporter, I remember, she interviewed Prabhupada and was describing, she said, he's travels from different cities and has philosophical chats with his followers, as if it is just some art of conversation. We just go from place to place in an urbane way, we discuss his subject matter. And that's because they cannot see. Yes, there may be no sense gratification, and there may be no money making by talking about Krishna and how to serve the Guru. But there is spiritual life, and if you can take these instructions, there's direction for you to become perfect, develop love of God. So try to remember now when you go and preparing yourself and taking rest, what were the questions you asked, what were the answers? Don't forget these things, and then follow them. Then our time is the best time spent. And it can't be compared in its value to time spent, to any other time spent. All other time is wasted. It may seem we just had some philosophic talk, but this time is eternal gain. Another time, no matter what you do, it's like a phantasmagoria, like a big dream. Wonderful time, the so-called wonderful time you had. There was nothing gained. So please make it worthwhile by not forgetting or throwing it aside. We have some. God brothers and God sisters there. Different places. What are these? Cookies? Pretty nice.